I write because it still seems to me the best way to think. Thinking in the abstract is hard, arguably impossible. Forcing thought through the nozzle of language, however, and then into the frame of a piece of writing gives it form, weight, body, and mass, as we now know, is actually a measure of the underlying energy. Oh, and writing lets you think again before you get caught out saying something stupid. I used to rewrite and rewrite that first chapter of my novel when I was 10. It remains unfinished, along with every other novel I've failed to write. I write non-fiction now. I reckon it's still the best way to affect how other people think, to add to what they know and change what they believe. I'm not denying the power of art or film or music or other genres, but if you want to argue with someone, if you want to persuade them, if you want ultimately to confront them with the possibility of an alternative consciousness that is not their own, then you're best off using well-ordered words. When writing works, I believe, it is fiercely efficient. Conversations can be creative, but few do not ultimately dissipate their energies in polite circling, irrelevance, or other kinds of noise. TV? We could summarise the weightiest hour-long BBC4 documentary on half a side of A4, though documentary makers would probably shoot me for saying that. A good work of serious non-fiction, by contrast, would require about as much paper as the book already contains. And great novels, I'd argue, not that I've written any novels, great or small, are actually irreducible. They exist in the process of being read, in kind of the way a living thing exists. Writing doesn't even have to be fine or great to be effective. One of the reasons I loved writing travel guidebooks, alongside the fact that for a time at least they produced an income that was relatively reliable, was that they allowed me to feel the contours of my communication with the actual eventual reader. In writing about a monument, church, or painting, I knew that there my reader would be, looking at that very thing, book in hand, and my words would be shaping, or at least reshaping, their response. Occasionally, in some French museum or Nepalese temple or wherever, I would spot a real reader actually reading my real guidebook, which offered a deliciously voyeuristic thrill. Writing guidebooks was an opportunity to directly persuade, challenge, or merely inform, to dumb up, you might say. It allowed me to think better about the object of my thought, and perhaps to carry readers with me. Of course, there are many other reasons to write. Writing allows me to preserve a measure of intellectual and physical independence. Many of my contemporaries' jobs deny them those very freedoms. Writing rewards me with praise, or if not praise, then at least with my own satisfied vanity. Of course, most of the time I dislike, distrust, or outright loathe what I write, like most writers I've met, but there are occasional moments of payoff. I also write because when I manage to cough up a piece of momentarily elegant prose, when I stumble upon the right revelatory metaphor, when the process of writing throws up a more powerful or productive idea, I experience an almost, yet not quite, physical pleasure. It's the kind of pleasure created by, I don't know, a well-voiced chord, a tight rhythm section, or, on a very good day, an aptly suspended note from the tenors in a piece by Bird or Tallis. Even within this abstracted world of thought I'm praising, then, there are flushes of sensuality, which is just as well.